You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So where are we this week? I'm going to dive pretty much straight into the message this week. If you've missed previous weeks, I'm literally going to do a really quick recap. But if you go online, there are more messages on there, and I would encourage you to go and pick those up because this has been a really interesting journey for us. But just as a very quick recap, so I'm kind of going to do one line for each. Week one, we asked the questions, what are your shadows? What is that thing that you want God to deal with? And I think for most of us, instantly something comes to mind. Or if not, you've been on that journey where there's been a number of things and God is now moving on to the next one. What is that thing that you want God to deal with? Week two, we said, who has laid your foundations and who do you put your trust in? And the answer is God and his word. That's what we hope we put our trust in. Week three, I asked, how big is your vision? We know we want God to deal with some stuff. We know God is our foundation, but how big is the vision? And if you remember, what are you imagining? God can do immeasurably more we can ask or imagine. What are we imagining? And if God turns up and does immeasurably more than that, wow, that's an exciting place to be. Question, if you don't have vision, it says that the people perish without vision, but joy comes to those who delight in the law. If you don't have vision, the take home that week is, are you dying in memories of the past? So what are we looking at? What is our vision? Week four, really tough question, this one. You need to go back and listen to the message, otherwise you'll just think I'm horrible. Question four, are my actions, thoughts, deeds, etc., driven by wickedness or righteousness? And actually, when we really sometimes boil things down to is it wickedness or righteousness, we said there's no sitting on the fence here. And actually, we'll pick it up in the message a little bit later, that definition of wickedness. But essentially, it's selfishness. Are we doing things for me, which is essentially wickedness, or are we doing things for others, giving beyond ourselves? Christ gave up heaven for the sake of us. He is God's perfect righteousness revealed. Do we live that giving beyond self, sacrificing life? And all of these things that we asked these questions on was to remove those shadows, remove those things that can hold us back, or where we tend to run to sometimes, like Adam and Eve did when they first sinned and they ran from God and they hid in the trees amongst the shadows. And last week, we were looking, week five, how do we know then what God wants us to do? And the answer to that again was prayer and fasting. So that's a massively, really quick recap. But if you want some of that information, or if you need a CD, come and see me. I'm really happy to put those out for you. But this week's message picks up actually on part of last week's message. And as normal, I've got a couple of questions for us to consider. So if God spoke to you in an audible voice, what might he sound like?
Thou shalt go to Greg's and buy a steak and cheese slice, and...
Why does God always talk with reverb and thou shalt? I don't know about that. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Well done, PA desk. What does God say we got to be obedient in? Question two, because we're forgetful people, and we might actually add something to what God says, what if God actually writes it down for us? Would we read it and be obedient to it? Because you can kind of see where this is going, right? You know, God does speak to us, and some people say, I've heard the audible voice of God. Question, did you obey? And God says, well, actually, I'll write it down for you, just in case you forget and you mess it up. Do we obey? And this week's message is titled, Obedience Removes the Shadow of Sin. And as I was researching it, it really unpacked itself in a way I really hope is going to be practical for you today and really helpful. We've already sung in a number of our songs about the grace that God pours out upon us. And I really caught that in that last song as I was looking around and I got caught in it myself. Wow, God loves me really that much. And I hope you caught that in that song just for a moment, that wow, God really does love me that much. Now, obedience is an interesting word. I don't know if you think it's a good word. I don't know, when you hear the word obedience, it makes you go, or you go, ooh, obedience. What does the Oxford Dictionary say? It's always good to find out what the Oxford Dictionary would define it. We can see then if people were to look it up today, what would they see? First of all, it's a bit of an eye test up there. Compliance with an order, request, or law of submission to another's authority. And then it gives us an example. Children were taught to show their parents obedience. Happens every day, doesn't it? Not if we were like anything like we were, hey? Obedience to moral standards. So that's one definition. The second definition says observance of a monastic rule. That sounds even worse, doesn't it? Vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. There you go. That's what the Oxford Dictionary says. Makes you even more excited about obedience, doesn't it? The origin of obedience, that Latin verb to obey, is one of those words that instantly, I think, gets our heckles up. I don't know about you, but if someone says to you, do something, they go, obey. I've spoken, so you will obey. How do you instantly react? No way. Don't we? Obey, no way. I don't know. Try it with your kids or other people's. See how you get on. Now, I am asking you to help me tread carefully here this morning. Don't read anything extra into what I'm going to say, because sometimes you can say things from the front and people go, ooh, what does he think about this? But there are certain diagnoses that come along. And in recent years, there is a condition called, keep my teeth in, oppositional defiant disorder. It's ODD. And I will tell you what it says on one of the websites as what that means. It's listed as a childhood disorder that is defined by a pattern of hostile, disobedient, and defiant behaviors directly at adults or other authority figures. ODD is characterized by children displaying angry and irritable moods, as well as argumentative and vindictive behaviors. Now, I'm going to say, help me tread carefully here, because however we package these things up or name them, I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like original sin to me. And again, I'm not challenging a disorder. It is recognized medically, but equally, just because we recognize a physical manifestation or a physical appearance and give it a name, it doesn't mean that there aren't some spiritual implications along with this as well. If someone says I should do something this way, whether I've got ODD or not, do I naturally obey or do I naturally challenge it? If God says this is the way things are to be done, do I naturally obey or do I challenge it? How many people did 30 all the way here today if you drove? Who did 32? It was 10%, isn't it? You can get away with a bit more, can't you? And actually, there wasn't any police around and you were late. So what do we do? Anybody do 40? Confess your sins to one another. Yeah. You know, we have this thing. There's a rule. We just try and push it, don't we? Just that little bit more. And why is that? I think obedience is a word the devil has got hold of and twisted it. For the majority in today's world, it's not a positive word. And sadly, most people can probably add some sort of negative memory that has twisted that word obedience. And possibly you might say those words, I will never obey again. You might even know folk that have said, I've tried your God out and I'm not trusting him. I'm not obeying him. I will never trust your God. I will never obey your God. So what does biblical obedience look like? Following all of God's rules to the letter, doesn't that sound a bit like Old Testament law to you? You might ask me the question, Darren, didn't Jesus come to set us free from all of this? We are now people that live under grace. We've just been singing those words. Grace is my trump card. It's my get out of jail free card, isn't it, that I can use for obedience, right? I don't have to be obedient, do I? And actually, this brings us to the main focus of our message this week. I'm going to try and put some pictures up. It helps me. Whenever I think of things, pictures really help me remember the structure. And hopefully, this will be helpful to you as well. So let's be clear. This morning is not going to be a grace versus obedience thing. It's not going to be grace versus obedience. Okay? Don't think it's got a little arm wrestle there going on the screen. Rather, obedience is actually something really beautiful and really precious that God has given to us. And really, when we get it, I think we get that little bit closer to God. We get that little bit more like Jesus, which is what we're called to be, isn't it? A little bit more like Jesus, a little bit more like his son. So how does obedience do that? You see, I'm so excited when I was preparing this. I went, obedience is amazing. And I'd never really sat down before and go, whoa, bring on the obedience. If you've been coming along to the Discipleship Explore course, and we're just 2 weeks from the end of that now, I hope for those that have come, you will agree, it's actually been a really, really helpful time. And actually, as we discover that joy of being a disciple, that follower of Jesus Christ, we've just grown to be a little bit more like him. The course, as you know, for those that have come on it, is based around the book of Philippians. And I've really enjoyed that, because as we've done something, God has kind of given me a message for Sunday morning, and then we've got to Wednesday, and I've gone, oh, wow, this really speaks into what's going to happen on Sunday morning. God is speaking loud and clear to us. Question is, everybody actually listening to God? And this, I think, is where the enemy can come in. He comes in and he twists stuff. Because God speaks clearly, but I think the enemy also speaks really clearly. I think if we're really honest, we might all say, I can hear his voice a lot more than I can hear God's sometimes. He's always trying to attack me. Part of the Discipleship course, the Explore course this week was saying, are you one of those people where things in the past have happened and you keep playing it over and over again as if you're rehearsing something ready for a theatre play, I think is what he said on the video. Or you play it over and over in your mind again. You say, well, if I had my time again, this is what I would say this time. And sometimes it can consume you. And I think the enemy comes in and he goes, boom, boom, boom. And we hear that voice. So how do we claim victory in these situations? And I think this is where this was really exciting this week. I would ask you the question, are we fighting in our own strength with our own knowledge and wisdom for our own purposes, maybe? Or are we being obedient to what God says? If you want to flick back to Philippians, you will see in Philippians 2:12-13, this was part of, I think it was last week's Discipleship Explorer, the week before we were in Philippians 2. Beautiful words, these. And again, if you like to highlight things in your Bible or draw around them, this is another one. Philippians 2:12-13 says these words, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. It says we were to continue, and you'll remember this now for those that came along, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I mentioned Philippians, the Discipleship Explore course is going through Philippians. And these verses really struck folk. It's funny when people come back and talk to me afterwards and they go, oh, that fear and trembling one really, really got to me. But how does working out our salvation, or what does working out our salvation with fear and trembling look like? And actually, I think this is where we dive back into Thessalonians, put a little bit of context around those couple of verses right at the end that Pauline read to us this morning. So right at the end of 2 Thessalonians, if you've hopefully kept your finger in there, 2 Thessalonians 1, and the last two verses at the end there, 11 through 12. And this is what we read. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Verse 12, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love those verses. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine someone's praying like that for you. And Paul is recognizing that obedience is actually a really good thing. It's a powerful action word as we continue to work something out. The thought or picture I want us to remember today is just how beautiful that obedience can be when it's set into that godly structure. So I don't know if you're sitting there for a moment and maybe you can give me a nod. I didn't like the word obedience. Don't like that word. But you don't like that word. I think you're very good. If you're still in 2 Thessalonians 1, just look at those last two bits at the end, and we're going to briefly just unpack that bit. Now, you know in the past, I use sandwiches as illustrations. I like sandwiches. Ray makes a mean ham sandwich. If you ever come to a church lunch, go for the ham sandwiches, because you can tell they're man-made ham sandwiches. They've got lots of stuff in them. Well done, Ray. But I like sandwiches. You've got two slices and you've got something in the middle. Sometimes you'll know, and I've used this word before, the chiastic structures you'll see in Scripture. Sometimes you've got these things where they're mirrored. You've got the start of the verse and the end of the verse and or a chapter, and they kind of mirror each other. And as you work down through, they kind of mirror each other, a bit like a hand, and in the middle is the main point. And that's how some of the Scriptures are laid out. In actual fact, the whole of 2 Thessalonians 1 has a chiastic structure in there. But I'm going to kind of take that picture this morning of sandwiching two things. We've got two slices of bread and a filling in the middle. What I'm looking at isn't a chiastic structure, but this illustration is going to help. Hopefully you're taking away a sandwich this morning. So if we look at the component parts of 2 Thessalonians 1 and just 11 to 12, it starts with God's verse 11, and at the end in chapter 12, it ends with God giving us his grace. And if we put these together, we see that grace is given so that Jesus may be glorified. Now, these are the bits I'm going to call the bread in our sandwich today. You'll see it. God's grace is at the bottom. Go back, well, that's it. God's grace is at the bottom. It will go on its own. We've got glory to God at the top. And then the meat in the middle is in the middle half of verse 11. And it says this, that by his power, that's God, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Now, I know you're not necessarily going to be able to see all that on there, but actually, the meat in the middle, the thing, the power that is at work in the middle there, is sandwiched by these two things. God's grace that he gives to us freely in order that God, or there might be glory to God. When we walk by faith with God, in obedience to all he calls us to do, which is the bit in the middle, every desire for goodness and every good deed, we will receive his power, okay? His power to bring fruition, completion, fulfillment, whatever it is that he calls us to do. And actually that word fruition, if you're to look it up, it goes on a bit further. It speaks about bringing maturity and enjoyment and good pleasure that we are serving God as he intended. Do you remember last time we were talking about praying? We were talking about praying in the will of Jesus. What is it that God wants us to do? If we pray in Jesus' name, we don't just put it on as the magic wand at the end. Right, I've said in Jesus' name it's going to happen. I'm following God so closely. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm following him so closely. I know the will of the Father. And that is obedience. And this is the bit I really want us to catch this morning. Do you see that obedience is wrapped up in his grace towards us? And that in this knowledge that we are forgiven, we're redeemed, that we're saved people, our motivations are for working out what is God's good and perfect plans in and through us. But they're only possible if it's his power that is enabling us to do that. If we're not receiving from God and his grace, and we're going to do it my way, then we don't receive that power that is in that structure. And all of this that works through us gives glory to God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:10. It's a message that's echoed throughout Paul's letters, this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Why was Paul so effective in everything he did? Because I think a lot of us have said, well, I've kind of done that as well. I did that way, but it didn't necessarily work out for me as it did for Paul. Why was Paul effective? I think because he totally understood what it meant to hear from God and then act in obedience accordingly. You don't need to flick to it, but Jesus says in John 15:5, Jesus is speaking, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And the key bit that you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, when we're actually obedient to God, and when we're in God, and we're surrounded by his grace, and whatever we do, because we're completely loved by God, our motivation is to hear from God, to do what God says, it gives glory back to God. And the shadow that I really think that we want to remove today is that obedience, and understanding what obedience looks like, godly obedience, should fill us with awe and excitement. It shouldn't make us go, oh no, I've got to obey all this stuff. It's like God has spoken, and when he speaks, he's going to give me his power to do it. And if you've been trying to do all this stuff and the power hasn't come, was God actually talking to you, or were you doing it because you thought it was a good idea? It's wonderful when we recognize who we are in Christ. And God, through his grace, will empower me today to complete the good works for him so that the world might see Christ and all the glory will go to him. I mean, I think that's a wow thing. I just think, whoa, why don't I do it that way? How many of us here try and do it our own way, in our own strength? Do you think obedience is a good thing? Or is it still one of those words you're going, oh, don't say obedience again? What's the takeaway challenge for us today, individually? I don't have, obviously, all the answers for what that looks like for you, but God knows. So I'm going to create just a little bit of space for us today, just to sit for a moment with God and ask him, Lord, what actually am I trying to do in my own strength? Where am I working so hard that actually I don't have time for you because I'm too busy trying to do all this other stuff, instead of actually surrendering to you and asking you, what is it you want me to do? I really like that illustration. I don't know if you can see it. It's a guy stood against a blackboard and he's got his arms folded. But actually, we kind of think, oh, I could do it in my strength. I'm really powerful. I'm really strong. But actually, we're really weak. And when God comes and he gives us his power, I think we really do get those great big arms. Look at that power of God at work in us. So I'm just going to create some space for us just to think for a moment, because the enemy is wicked. And I know from chatting to a number of folk this week, he really wants to shut us down. And I want you just to consider for a moment a time, maybe over this last week, when you've actually maybe been robbed of gathering together with God's people or with your family or around God's word, where you maybe did have that opportunity to share burdens with one another because either an unexpected situation came up or maybe it's just a little bit embarrassing and it makes you miss out on God. Now, I pray Holy Spirit is talking to you. Let's just take a moment just to quieten our minds and say, God, come and show me what this obedience looks like. Where has the enemy been robbing me? Because I've been trying to do it in my own strength. Just take a moment. Maybe you just need some fresh perspective on a situation. And God is saying, I believe to somebody here this morning, I know what you're going through, but my timing is perfect. And I know you've been patient this far, but my timing is going to be perfect. And God will be glorified in that situation for you, but you've still got to hold on and wait. God loves you so very, very much. He doesn't want to leave you where you are. And God wants to make you whole. I know for some that idea of running the race, that race that's set before you, you might think, wow, I'm pretty tired now. We keep going. We keep going. Let me pray for a moment. Father, I just pray that for those that you've spoken to here this morning, we will really take something away afresh. I pray that maybe if today, Lord, we need to receive that healing from you, that we would come and receive prayer for that today. Because, Lord, we don't want to leave here having heard from you and not be obedient to what it is that you're saying. So come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Keep that thought in our minds that we might come and receive from you this morning. Amen. You see, why does God want us to be a completed people or a whole people or a less broken people? And I think it goes back to what was being said last week in Isaiah, or a few weeks back, Isaiah 58. You know, God wants us to break that yoke of oppression, to set the captives free, to feed the hungry, to break that yoke of oppression. And when we looked at that message, it was what was said to Paul in Acts there. And God was speaking to him. He says, I have chosen you to will and to act in accordance to fulfill his good purpose. Sorry, in Philippians 2:13. I want you to act in accordance to fulfill that good purpose that I have called you to. And I suppose the question for us is, are we obediently working that out? Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for God attending everything that church puts on? Not that I want you to come to everything here because we got a tick in the box. That's the wrong motivation. I want you to be so hungry for God that you just go, when am I going to gather with God's people again? When are we going to wrestle with some of those scriptures again? When am I going to be able to ask people to pray for me? Because if church is just about Sunday morning and that's all that we do, we come along, we hear something, but it doesn't impact the rest of our lives. There was an interesting stat, I can't remember if I said it to you before, but someone says, how many hours a month Christian are you? Now, I would change that to an active Christian, maybe doing something for God. And for some folk, it will be an hour a week on a Sunday, maybe an hour and a half if I prattle on too long. And that makes you a 6 hours a month Christian. Times that by 12, six 12s are... Thank you. 72 hours a year, that's what I'm a Christian, that's what I give to God. Actually, the stats were if someone's a 10 hours a week Christian, i.e. serving, if they've got family and if they've got work commitments and everything else, to do another 10 hours a week on top of that is a huge commitment, actually. That can break down to over an hour a day participating and doing something active for God. Are you hungry for what God has got for you? Part of the Discipleship Explore course is, you know, I mentioned it on the Discipleship Explore course. It was a video, I remember now, I was watching. And the guy was saying, I can't wait to go to bed because when I wake up tomorrow, there's more really cool stuff to do. And actually, are we like that in our Christian walk? You know, wow, this has just been the most amazing day serving God. And there's so much more to do tomorrow. How are you obediently working your salvation out with fear and trembling? Are you hungry for God's? Where we attend things where iron sharpens iron and we grow together in God's love and we spur one another on to do good works. Or, and this can be the case, the enemy shuts us down and separates us off. Absolutely guarantee it. We've all been there and we go, do you know what? I just can't be bothered. Or I don't want to have that conversation again. Or, well, actually, this has come up. What is it that we do? Even Sunday mornings, and I'm not picking on anybody at all, but actually, do we plan stuff for Sunday morning, or do we say, well, actually, I've got church until about 12, 1 o'clock. I'll be with you afterwards, unless you'd like to come to church with me. Yeah? But we actually say, oh, no, actually, I can quit church this week, and we'll go off and do whatever it is that I want to do. Now, okay, that's a really good thing to do sometimes. But if it's what you do all the time, if that's your default and your go-to, what are we really saying to God? Are you trying to do it in your own strength? Let's put that sandwich picture up again. I think I've got one on there. You see, if we're doing stuff for self, selfishness, we said, boils down to wickedness. Maybe your sandwich looks a bit like this. It is about me. I fill my life with all this stuff that isn't of God. Ultimately, and if you go back to the message the other week, because this might look like a really horrible slide if you've just joined us this week. But if it's all about me, it's not for others, it's not for God, I'm doing what I want to do in my life, this is probably the sandwich that the world eats. It's selfishness, it's wickedness, and it's filled with whatever I want. If your filling is not obedience to God, i.e. God says, this is what I want you to do, and you're following him, then you're not going to get the power that he promises. Did I put the second one up again? You see, as God's people with God's grace, everything we can do can bring glory to God. And obedience to what God says comes with God's power. If you're finding it difficult, it might be because you're doing the wrong stuff in your own strength. But when we follow God and we're obedient to what God says, oh, it makes the hairs on my arms stand up. He gives us that power. Power. And we give glory back to God. Wow. Can you take that in? Have I explained that clearly enough this morning? Have you got that? God loves us so much. And when we love him back and have that wonderful relationship and we're in obedience to what he says and we hear from the Father, he gives us all the power that we need to go and do that. And it gives glory back to God. I just think that's beautiful. I feast on that sandwich every day. Every day. But if we wake up and it's about me and my woes and all these things and we don't start with God, what's your sandwich? What's your breakfast? I want that for breakfast every day. That's a good way to start, isn't it? With power and obedience as our filling. Again, just take a moment. We've got plenty of time this morning. Just take a moment to ask God where you might need to release something to him. Maybe there's something of self that you just need to say, God, actually, I want you to really help me with that thing this week. And we can lovingly and excitedly step into obedience. And maybe just take a moment. If you like to close your eyes, it sometimes helps you think, Lord, what do I need to release to you that I might feast on that sandwich? I pray God's really speaking to you now. And if he says something to you, or if he's highlighted something to you, I suppose the question is, will you be obedient to that? It can be God's word. God says one simple word, and it's wait. For a lot of us, he might just be saying wait this morning. Are we going to be obedient to that? I believe obedience removes the shadow of sin and it releases us into the most wonderful relationship with God. Maybe just close your eyes for a second. I want to read this as a blessing over you this morning. It's the end of 2 Thessalonians 11 to 12, and I want you to take delight in these words. It says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. Church, I constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he might bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Catch that. Let me read that to you again. That by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire. What was he saying to you this morning? Every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. What are you believing in? What have you got faith for? I love as it closes in verse 12. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Just soak that in for a moment. That our God may make you worthy of his calling. You're made in God's image, and he loves you, and he pours his grace out upon you. That by his power, he might bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. That fruition brings maturity. It brings joy. It brings fulfillment. And it brings glory to our God.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.